Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Before we leave the opening verse of Colossians, we want to explore the subject of leadership. Paul was a great leader, a great example of Christ-like leadership. And one prominent area of his leadership position is seen in the opening verse of Colossians chapter 1, which says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." And we realize that Paul was installed by Christ himself into the apostolic office, one of the offices that are listed in the New Testament, one of the offices that Christ gave to his church for the well-being of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the offices that was placed in the foundation of the church, the foundation phase of the church, according to Ephesians 2:20. And an office that had a great deal of authority. And so we learn something about principles of leadership by seeing how the Apostle Paul exercised the authority that was given to him in this office. And so we started on that subject on the broadcast last week, and we pick it up again today on this Monday, August 24. And we can do this because radio listeners like you help us with the financial cost. Well, Paul was an apostle by the will of God. And we realize, therefore, that leadership is established by the will of God. In the case of Paul, it is a particular office, namely apostle, but of course there are other leadership offices or positions that are established by the will of God that the Bible tells us about. There are leadership offices in the home and in the marriage. There are for example, in the home, of course, the husband is given leadership responsibilities in regard to his wife. And then both husband and wife are given leadership responsibilities in relationship to their children, ordained by God. Children are told to obey their parents, not just their fathers, but their parents, mothers as well. So wives, mothers, have leadership responsibilities designated by God, established by the will of God in relationship to their children. Now, some of these things are so obvious that we hardly need to mention them. There aren't many people who would question whether mothers have authority over their children. And yet, in this day in which every element of Christianity is undergoing attack, some will even question that. In fact, they already have. There's been a little, I don't know how big it is, I should say a little movement, but maybe bigger than that. But there's been a movement afoot for years to float the idea that parents should not exercise authority over their children. Parents should be equal to their children. Older, of course, a little more mature, of course, but not exercise authority. Don't demonstrate any authority over your children. You must appeal to them as friends and appeal to them on the basis of logic and self-interest. You don't exercise any authoritarian control over your children. Well, most people recognize that that really doesn't work. Most people don't understand necessarily that this is a biblical issue. It's just a pragmatic issue. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because it goes against what God designed and what God reveals in His Word. God knows how He made the human family and how it works best, even in its fallen state. God knows how it works best, and so He has assigned leadership responsibilities in the home, in civil government, in the workplace, and in the church. And if we want to know what these positions are and what responsibilities have been assigned to them, then we go to the Bible and study these areas and find that out. And it's very important that we do so, but we'll not take time for that on this broadcast. But the purpose for mentioning this is just to underscore the fact, the principle, that there are leadership roles all throughout society that have been established by the will of God. Paul was an apostle by the will of God, but I am a husband by the will of God, and a father by the will of God, though my children are now grown and out of the home, and so I don't have the same responsibility toward them that I had when they were in the home, when they were single and in the home, and I had enormous leadership responsibilities relating to them. But that's all over now. All my four daughters have been married to Christian men, and now they have husbands, and there's a different relationship. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There is a leaving and a cleaving, and when a person gets married, they are removed from the authority of their home, the home they grew up in, and they are now related to a new authority structure in the home that they have just created by the marriage. And so once again, we go to the Bible to find out what those areas of leadership responsibility are, and they're all spelled out there for us. And so the Bible tells wives how they are to relate to their husbands, and children to their parents, and employees to their employers, and citizens to governmental authorities, and Christians to spiritual leadership in the church. And likewise, the Bible tells husbands how they are to lead. Yes, they have authority, but they aren't to exercise their authority abusively. They are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Fathers are told how to exercise authority over their children, and they're to do so in a most godlike way. We read this, for example, in Ephesians chapter 6. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now those are instructions to fathers and how to exercise authority over your children, but that doesn't sound like beat them to death, though I would not say that fathers don't have that authority and responsibility at times, not to beat them to death, of course, but to exercise corporal punishment. But that isn't what's emphasized here, is it? That's not at all what's emphasized here. If you want to read the whole passage, we start with children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? The only thing that fathers are told here in regard to exercising leadership responsibility over their children is one thing not to do and one thing to do. The thing not to do is not to provoke your children to wrath. And the thing to do is to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It's a great responsibility. You take that second one first. Fathers have this responsibility to bring their children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's a responsibility that's going to take a lot of time and effort. You're going to have that responsibility as long as your children are in the home, presumably for who knows what, say approximately 20 years for each child. And so depending on how many children you have and how they are spaced out, a father can have that responsibility for 20, 30, 40 years. I was talking to a mother in our church the other day, and she was mentioning how she hated to even think about her older daughters getting married. They're getting pretty close to that age, one of them in particular, and seems to be moving in that direction. And she was talking about how much she was going to miss them at home. But then she said, of course, we have, and this particular family has five children, and one of them is under 2 years old. And she said, we'll still have children in the home for a long time. Now, that's unusual, but there's a family, there are parents, there's a father who has responsibilities that will last altogether, I suppose, about 40 years. 40 years of responsibility before God for bringing up your children in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's no light assignment. That's no small task. That is a huge responsibility. And that's the main thing that's said to fathers in regard to their children. And the other thing is, don't provoke your children to wrath. That's the instruction that's given to fathers in regard to how to exercise authority over their children. We have some pretty skewed ideas sometimes about what authority looks like, what it means. Well, just think about that one for a little bit longer. I'm going to move on. But the Bible not only gives instructions for followers as to how they are to follow, how wives are to relate to their husbands in a submissive role, and children to their parents in obedient and in a respectful role, and employees to their employers in an obedient role, and other things are said there as well, and citizens to the government in a submissive role, and Christians to their spiritual leaders in the church in a submissive role. But when the spotlight is turned to those who have the authority, it doesn't sound like an authoritarian role, though there is authority there, and it is real, and it is God-given, and it must be exercised at times. But it doesn't sound like an authoritarian role while husbands are instructed to exercise authority over their children and or over their wives in loving them like Christ loved the church, and fathers over their children, and employers over their employees. That might be an interesting one to look at, and maybe we'll do that on the broadcast tomorrow. And even government officials, and certainly spiritual leaders, who are told specifically in the Bible not to lord it over God's heritage. So we're talking about Christ-like leadership, how leaders are to exercise their leadership in a God-pleasing way. The Apostle Paul being a prime example of that. He who was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, that carries a lot of authority in the church. So how did Paul exercise that authority? That's where our study is taking us. And we'll pick it up again at this point tomorrow and move on a little bit further, and we invite you to join us for that. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, P.O. Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.